Good morning and welcome to this special report. I'm Brendan Pollu. On the line with me right now is BC Agriculture Minister Lana Popham. Lana, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, Lana, first things first, we'll get right into it here. How has the agriculture sector changed over the past 2 months due to COVID-19?
That's a great question, and I can tell you that there's been some challenges, but there's also been some positive things that have happened. So I can tell you about the challenges first, if you'd like.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the one of the things that happens in British Columbia, starting in about mid-January, is we start to receive workers from other countries that come and work on our farms and in our agriculture businesses. We get a lot of workers from Mexico, workers from Jamaica. The workers from Mexico total about 6,000. So we're very dependent on these workers helping us out. And after the pandemic struck, we had received some workers, but we were sort of heading into the time when we would start to see a lot of workers arrive into British Columbia and then go and make their way to the farms that have hired them. So that got stopped, and we had to figure out how that we would be able to get these workers onto these farms in a safe way, following all the protocols that Dr. Bonnie Henry talks about. So we grappled with that for a while and then figured out a way to house them for 14 days when they arrive in hotels. And then after their quarantine period was finished, if they were healthy, we would then help them get onto the farms that they were supposed to work at. So that has put a big delay in the amount of workers that are here working on farms. Labor is an issue every year. In British Columbia, right across Canada, it's a constant issue. But because of what's happened this year, we definitely are behind. So we've had to figure out different ways to address it.
Now, is there one region that's hurting more than the other, or are all regions hurting equally right now in terms of the pandemic?
Well, it just really depends on what you're growing. So, for example, some of the early work that needs to happen in vineyards starts quite early, and then we move into the fruit tree season. Some pruning has to be done. These workers that arrive are skilled workers, so they have the skills that are needed. They're viticulturalists, they're orchardists. And then, of course, we have workers that specifically come to work in greenhouses. So it depends when the season is beginning for what you're growing. And so right now we're seeing a real need in our just our vegetable sector, so out in the field. We see blueberries starting to need to have their mulch put on and some attention given to all the blueberry bushes in the Lower Mainland and raspberry bushes. So it's really starting to be prime time for the amount of labor that we need all across the province.
Now, as you know, there have been meat processing plants in Quebec and Alberta that have fallen victim to coronavirus outbreaks, along with a couple of poultry plants in BC. What is being done to better support our facilities across the province so that something like this doesn't happen again?
Yeah, so that's concerning. And, you know, one of the things I said there was some positive things that have come out of what's been going on over the last couple of months. And one of the things that I think is very positive is the awareness that consumers have around British Columbia food and what we produce here. So when consumers hear that we're having issues of outbreaks within, for example, poultry plants, which we saw in the Lower Mainland, it causes a lot of fear in our consumer base, and they worry that we're going to run out of food or the food system is going to be disrupted. We're really lucky here in BC. We have a very diverse agriculture and seafood sector. So as far as us running out of food, that's not going to happen. But when the outbreak happened in the poultry plant in the Lower Mainland, it really shone a light on how to make those working conditions much more safe for workers. I think we've heard Dr. Bonnie Henry say that the virus doesn't get transferred in food. So the safety of the food is not in question, but we want to make sure that the workers that come into those plants are practicing safe protocols so the virus doesn't spread, and to make changes that may make those working experiences healthier anyways. And so even in our grocery stores, we're seeing plexiglass shields installed. I don't think those are going to come down. I think there's definitely value in making sure that we are protecting ourselves in our everyday life, regardless of the pandemic.
Now, I recently spoke with the Chilaco Meats in between Prince George and Vanderhoof, located here in the north, along with the BC Cattlemen's Association, and they told me there's more than enough beef to go around, and they just can't get it processed fast enough to get it to market. How long do you see this issue going on, and should we be concerned?
Okay, so this is a great topic, and I love it. So the years ago, there were some changes made to our meat regulations in British Columbia, and it really started to challenge the small and medium scale slaughter facilities. And we're right now trying to figure out how to support more of that happening again. I've been working with the BC Cattlemen over the last 3 years on figuring out how would we create a meat processing plant in British Columbia that specifically takes British Columbia-raised cattle. Right now, we do a lot of our processing in Alberta, and it would be really nice to be able to keep that system working here in British Columbia, so there's more value in it for the cattlemen, but also so that consumers can be easily able to identify raised in British Columbia and processed in British Columbia, because right now that means a lot to everyone.
Now, does a pandemic like this, and I know you've maybe partially answered this already, shine a light that more meat packing plants are needed in BC so we can become less reliant on other provinces?
Well, sustainability and self-sufficiency have been keywords over the last 2 months, and food security, of course. And so as we continue to work with the cattlemen to see if we can create a meat processing plant here in BC to address the issues that they've brought forward, that's one part of it, but also being able to support other types of smaller licenses across the province so that we see rural communities be able to have more control over what they're producing. And I think right now, more than any other time, consumers are wanting to know where their food comes from. And so this relationship that we see between consumers and farmers is becoming very strong, and this is the moment to take advantage of that and move forward on these policies that we've been working on for the last 3 years.
Now, we've seen some grocery stores limit the amount of hamburger meat and other products you can buy at once. Is the province close to making this mandatory during the pandemic so we don't run into another toilet paper and other essential item shortage?
Right. Well, one of the things is that once people heard or felt that we may have a food shortage, it did create a bit of a hoarding situation. And one of the ways to kind of slow that down is to put limits on what you can buy. And so you saw that with eggs in a lot of stores in BC. I haven't personally seen it on the hamburger, but I'm sure that also happened. It's a way of slowing it down. We were never going to run out of eggs, but it was just a way to try and put the brakes on some of the over-shopping that was happening. And you will see that definitely be removed in grocery stores now. We're good. And as we head into the fall, which is, of course, the time when we have the BC bounty of everything you could ever want, if we can address the labor shortages, we're going to be fine this year. But that does not to say, of course, that there isn't a lot of pain out there. It's been very challenging for farmers, anyone involved in agriculture and food processing, as adjustments have to be made around the protocols for the pandemic. It's more expensive. It's more time-consuming to have these protocols in place. And so there is a lot of difficulties and challenges, but we're trying to support the industry and get through them.
Now, last week, you announced enhancements to the BC Agribusiness Planning Program that now includes agriculture, seafood, and food processing businesses. How will the additional funding stream help?
Well, there's some great programs actually in the last little while that are really going to help, and I'll just address that first one. So the business planning funding is great for farmers that want to take a look at how to change their value-added products. So I'll give you an example of that. So we do have some wild harvesters that harvest mushrooms, and there is really not the capacity for dehydrating these mushrooms. So a business like that could look at what it would take to acquire some dehydration equipment and look at how they would package and market that product. So that's an example of mushroom harvesting, but you could also do that with any value-added product. So, for example, if you had a cattle farmer that wanted to create beef and barley soup, how do they plan to create that product? So that's what those supports are in place for. But we've had, and so that's more of a long-term planning, but it addresses the fact that consumers want more BC products. So I think that's going to be taken advantage of. I think we are already oversubscribed on that, so we'll have to take a look at expanding that funding. But that's a good news story. But something that had an immediate effect, and it would address the farmers market, for example, in Prince George, we supported farmers markets moving to an online ordering system, and I think we have over 50 markets now in British Columbia that have these websites where consumers can order stuff and just pick up their goods at the farmers markets, rather than having the social opportunities that we're not allowed to have there anymore. Farmers markets are being treated more like food depots. And so that's something that took effect very quickly and has had a great effect. I've heard some farmers tell me that their sales have increased over last year at the farmers market because of this simple tool, and they don't see going away from that tool. This is something that's going to be with us into the future, and it's excellent, and it's exciting because it's kind of bringing farmers markets into modern day technology.
Now, how important is supporting local during this time? And I'm going to ask you this anyways, because I know you've been a huge proponent of the Buy BC initiative. So I would imagine this is something you're paying close attention to.
The Buy BC program has been very important to me for the last 3 years, and we've really expanded it in every way you can imagine. But over the last 2 months, because consumers are wanting to identify British Columbia products and purchase them, having that symbol attached to a product that says Buy BC, so it's easily identifiable, is extremely important. So we're going to be, that funding that we use is basically funding for marketing. And we're quite nimble with our programming there, so we can make adjustments and basically take a look at what consumers are wanting right now and how to do more labeling on products that they want. It's really important for consumers to support local right now, and it's going to be for a long time. The money that's spent on local agricultural and seafood products in BC stays in our communities, and we know that our communities are hurting right now. So the more money that can continue to circulate is fantastic. But we also need more people to work on farms in British Columbia that are from British Columbia. So we are going to be launching a website in the next week. That's a website where people that want to do agricultural jobs can go online and see what jobs are available. So I think this is very exciting because we've always known there's a labor shortage, but we've never really tapped into our domestic labor supply. And so not everyone wants to be a farmer, but I can tell you, I used to be a farmer for 10 years, and it's fantastic. And there is so much variety in what you can do in the agriculture industry, and it takes skilled labor and non-skilled labor. And I can tell you that even if you're a truck driver, that's a skill that we need in agriculture. So that's going to get launched next week, and it's going to be an exciting day.
Now, it looks to me like farmers and ranchers alike are a pretty resilient bunch out here, weathering major events like wildfires, pandemics, and even flooding. How is the sector able to move forward during difficult times?
Wow. Yeah. You know, the people in agriculture and seafood are extremely resilient. And when we became government 3 years ago, we were in the middle of one of the worst fire seasons that we've ever seen. And it affected a lot of the ranches in rural British Columbia and farmers. And so what you see is the hits that they take over the years, whether it's fires or flooding or pandemic, there is this strength in character that shows through, and they make it. They make it through, but we want to try and support them in a way that they don't just make it, that they can be more successful. So it's making sure that we come back in a stronger way. And I think some of these programs that we're offering now allows them new ways to market themselves and new ways to support them. And I'm hoping that we can continue to create a more resilient food system in the province. And that's really been my goal since I became minister. And it's really has a lot to do with making sure that we've got this stable domestic market that we're supplying with local products and making sure that consumers are demanding these products. But we haven't had a lot of focus on the domestic market for quite a few years, and so that's been a huge focus for me, and we see it paying off. We've even got health authorities now moving a lot more British Columbia food through our hospital systems, and that's another domestic stability tool that we've put into action. It's called Feed BC.
Is it easier for farmers and ranchers to maintain physical distancing and other measures because they live in rural areas with limited human contact?
I've been doing these Zoom meetings with tons of stakeholders from agriculture. In BC, we've got over 200 land commodities and over 100 sea commodities. So when I talk to stakeholders, it's incredibly diverse. Some of them are telling me that it's not hard to maintain social distancing because some of them work alone on their farms for weeks and weeks, and so that's not a problem. But when you get into areas like food processing, where people are working more closely, or, for example, in a greenhouse business that's dealing with small seedlings and you're working with conveyor belts and labor lines, it does get to be more difficult to do that social distancing. And when the protocols are followed, that's when you're going to see it's more costly, and just in labor in general, but also in the supplies that are needed to keep people safe, like, for example, the personal protective equipment that's required.
Yes, what does your day look like now compared to what it was pre-pandemic?
Well, I am known to travel around the province nonstop. I'm always on the ground with farmers and ranchers and fishers, and that's really how I keep tabs on what's going on. So my life has changed because, of course, like everyone else, I'm grounded. I'm not traveling anywhere. So we've had to try and change the way we do business, and a lot of that is Zoom calls, so I can still see those familiar faces that I love so much. But I also asked my ministry to make sure that it doesn't matter small or large, I wanted us to keep in contact with all of our stakeholders nonstop over the last 2 months. So I think we're getting close to about 7,000 calls that we've done with people in the agriculture and seafood industry. And I think we've called so much, they're kind of like, okay, we'll call you if we have anything to tell you. But I never wanted them to feel alone in this very difficult time. So lots of time on the phone and a lot of texting and emailing, but I've tried to keep in contact as much as I always have. It's just changed. I can't wait till there's a time when I can get back and talk to a farmer face-to-face right on the land base.
Now, last question for you today. You're an organic vineyard operator. How do you use that experience to your advantage, as well as past farming experience when dealing with agriculture issues within the legislature?
Well, so I was a farmer for over a decade. I'm not a farmer anymore, but I did have an organic vineyard, and I was trained as a viticulturalist. I also had a vegetable business, and I worked with a co-op of women supplying restaurants and households on Vancouver Island. That experience has been extremely valuable for me because I do understand what it takes to run a farm, what it takes to run a farm business, and I know the challenges. One of the things that became very clear to me was that people, even 20 years ago, 10 years ago, were having a lot of trouble accessing land to farm on. So there's been this resurgence of interest in becoming farmers in one way or the other. But the challenge is there's this massive barrier that nobody can afford the land. So when I became minister, one of the programs that we've initiated is working with young agrarians, and we have the BC Land Matching Program. So this is basically matching up landowners who don't want to farm and aren't using their land with people who want to farm. And it's a leasing system, and it's been so successful. So I can tell you this really amazing statistic. Took a while to get the databases going, but these land matchers go into communities around the province, including in your area, and they introduce, it's like speed dating for landowners and potential farmers. And so we have had almost 6,000 acres put back into production because of this BC Land Matching Program. And so that is significant, and that means that we are growing new farmers on the land base. And that's one of the biggest challenges we've heard, is that farmers are aging and we don't have people interested in getting into agriculture. But I've argued against that for a long time because I know people want to get into it, but we have to help remove the barriers if we want them there. So that's a huge success story, and that's going to be continuing on.
Well, Anna, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, and from all of us here at Vista Radio, I'd like to extend my thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to speak with us today.
Anytime. Let's chat again.
All right, Lana. Well, thank you very much. And until next time, I'm Brendan Paulute.